Welcome to our prayer service tonight. Let's begin with
our song, I Need Thee Every Hour. It's number 318. It should be in your insert, so we'll sing that together. I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's stand as we sing. 318. Father, we thank you that we can come to you tonight. Thank you for this time we have to meet and pray to you. And we ask your blessing on the time. Help us as we look at your word here, and help us as we come to you in prayer to remember what we need to bring before you. And we thank you that we can meet here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, if you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look there tonight. We've had a church memory verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It's a familiar verse, but I thought we'd look at that tonight in a bit more detail. And that verse says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." This verse occurs here in a context of warning by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is warning the church at Corinth, and he is giving them an example of some people that were very privileged. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they had some privileges. God had delivered them, and yet they proved to be a bad example. But we can learn from that bad example. And we see the verse right before this verse is a warning that says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." But then there's this encouragement, verse 13. And the subject here is temptation. See that word repeated three times in this verse. "There hath no temptation taken you, and God will not suffer you to be tempted," the verb form of that word, and then, "but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." That word temptation, or to tempt, is a word in the Bible that has a double meaning, has two meanings. And of course, the one meaning is the one that we're used to thinking about, and that is being tempted to sin. And that's one way that we see it used in the Bible. But it's also used in the sense of a testing, an examining, a trial. And we're told in the scriptures in James chapter 1 that God does not tempt man to sin. But God does tempt in a different way. He tempts in the form of trying somebody, examining them, testing them. And that one word is used in both of those senses. It can be that trial that God brings his people into that may involve adversity or affliction. And he may do that in order to encourage and prove our faith in him. So which meaning is it here in this verse? What is God talking about? Is it being tempted to sin, or is it being tested, being tried? And perhaps one of those maybe is more weighted than the other in this context, but I think you could probably take both of those meanings when it comes to the idea and the lessons that we learn from this verse, because we face both of those things, and I think the promise applies in both cases. So what can we learn from this verse here as we look at some of the parts of it? I want to begin with that first line where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." We see here that temptations and trials are common to man. The word "common to man" is one word in the original, and it means human. Temptations and trials are common to man. The idea is they are human. They belong to men. So what are the implications of that? There's many that we can see, but what does it mean that temptations and trials are common to man? Well, for one thing, it means that we will never face a non-human temptation. You say, well, good, that's glad. I'm glad about that. Don't have to worry about non-human temptations. But maybe there's some encouragement there. You know, we're never going to face a trial or temptation that's angelic, because the ones that we face are human trials and human temptations. And, you know, they're just, you know, specific to the human race. There may be some non-human temptations, but we won't face those. Another thing that it means here is that humans in every generation have faced trials and temptations. Sometimes we think about people that have gone before and, you know, perhaps the generations of our grandparents and great-grandparents and think, well, they must have had it different than we have it. But that's not true, because the reality is that they faced human temptations and trials just like we do. And they may have been slightly different, but many, many ways the same. That's always going to be the case as long as there's humanity here on this earth. And then something else that it means here is that no one is exempt from temptation. That may be really the emphasis here in this context, where Paul is warning the believers here. And verse prior to it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." That's a warning. And we shouldn't think that we are somehow exempt from trials and temptations. We will face some of the same temptations that they faced. And what are some of those things? Well, Paul listed some of those. Back in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So nobody is exempt from trials and temptations. We face similar issues to those things that Paul just listed here. And something else we can see is that there are no unique temptations. It says that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Sometimes we think that the particular problem that we have or the trial that we're going through, there's nobody else that really has faced that before. But the Bible says that there's no temptation like that. There's no trial like that. They all are human, and whatever it is, it's something that is faced by probably somebody else in the human race. So this is a verse that tells us about temptations that are common to man or human. Then look at the next phrase here. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Temptations and trials do nothing to change God. When we face them, it seems like they can change our world and totally throw us out of whack. But Paul reminds us here that even when we face temptations, God does not change. God is reliable. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is stable. And God is our resource in temptations and trials. It's not ourselves. It's not that we can find something in ourselves to face it. No, God is faithful, Paul says. And then the next phrase says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That tells us that temptations and trials are controlled by God. God, it says, permits temptation. That's what the word suffer means. The word suffer means to allow, to be done, to permit. You remember the account of Job in the Old Testament. And what happened to Job, it's very clear at the beginning, was permitted by God. Satan came and had a hand in it, yes, but Satan had to get permission from God. And that's true about all temptations and trials that we face. They are permitted by God. And then we see that God limits the temptation. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God limits the temptation. It doesn't say here that God will not allow you to be tempted at all. That'd be nice, but that's not what it says. It reminds us that, yes, we will be tempted. We will be tried. We may be tempted to sin. God doesn't do that directly. He may allow it. But God limits it. That's the emphasis here. He promises not to allow the temptation beyond our ability. He limits it to something that is within our ability to deal with and to resist. If it's a temptation to sin, God promises here that he's not going to allow us to have something that's beyond our ability to deal with and to say no to resist. Now, what we like to do a lot of times is say, I can't do it. It's something that I just cannot do. I cannot, have victory over that temptation, or I can't deal with that situation. And, oh, wait a minute. What is this promise of God here? He says that he's going to limit it to something that is within our ability, and he knows what that is. We can see many examples in the scriptures of the way that God does that, but it may be that God would delay our own lives in some way to help us avoid something that he knows would be outside of our ability. Remember when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, it tells how he did that. Exodus chapter 13 says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." There's an example of God knowing what his children could deal with. And he knew when he led them out of Egypt at that time, they were not ready to see war. He didn't let them go the quick route, the straight route. He led them through the wilderness. He led them through the Red Sea. Why? Because he knew what temptations his people could deal with at that particular time. So God can limit what comes into our lives in some way. And in fact, he does. He does limit it here. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The last thing we see is that temptations and trials have a way of escape at the end of the verse. And I think there's a couple more lessons we can see in that, but that's also a promise. God provides a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And part of that escape may be the ability to endure, to withstand the temptation and not give into it, and not go ahead and sin. And then that very next verse says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And there might be a hint as to what that escape is. Sometimes it might involve our fleeing from that temptation. But this is a wonderful promise that we have. Many promises, actually, here in this verse. "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in our lives. We thank you that you're in control even of the temptations that we face, the trials. We pray that we would trust you, trust in your faithfulness, in your power to control what comes into our lives. Help us to lean upon you and upon your strength and your grace. And we thank you for this promise that we have from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I trust that you have a prayer sheet here. And if not, they're out there on the table. Anybody need one? You got one? You need one? All right. So we'll start off with praises. And just a couple here to begin. We had a visitor here on Sunday, John Dudo. He was a visitor from before, a couple months ago, a while ago. But it was good to see him here again. And we had our evening service on Sunday after 3 months. So we praise the Lord for that. And it was good to have Walker play the piano, Ben lead the singing, and that was a blessing. Safety in storms last Wednesday. If you remember last Wednesday night, there were some pretty big storms that came through. I know Al and Marlene said they had damage at their house, some of the trees that come down, but just praise the Lord for safety. We had a good meeting Sunday night to get ready for Sunday school, which is going to begin this Sunday, June 21st. And we just went over some of the recommended guidelines for, you know, having children in classrooms and things like that. So that's a praise, also a prayer request. Mr. Owen had his back surgery on Monday. He came through that well. He went back home the same day. He was able to walk around. And so he sounded like he was doing really well. Last I talked to his wife, which was yesterday. So trust that that's still true. We're thankful for the work that Norm Miller and Pastor Gossman did today here at the church. If you notice on the east side of the building, there's two trees that are not there anymore because they took them down. They were dead. And they also power washed out here on the north side and underneath and maybe some other places too. They fixed a gutter. The downspout had come off on the corner of the building over here. They repaired that. And they may have done some more things too. But we appreciate all the work they did. Just praise that my wife was able to fix our dryer at home. And so didn't have to call the repairman. Just call my wife. She can fix it. But she... Yeah. She ripped off the back panel and fixed the problem. So, all right. Any other praises tonight? Any other praises? Yes, Pastor Gossman.
Just in regards to the work that was there, it's a special blessing to have Norm to take interest in those things and want to deal with them. And he had some good equipment to make the job easier, so that was nice. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah, he had a some kind of cage that connected to his tractor that could be raised up high. So that, I think that helped a good bit. So, all right, any other praises tonight? Anything else? Help and temptation. Okay, anybody else tonight?
This passage of scripture is just it's a special blessing. It's something that over the years I think it's been a promise that we rely on, and just hearing you go through it tonight is just a special blessing that the Lord has given us.
Amen. All right, somebody else? Is there another hand? Becky.
I was just saying, Aaron and Jennifer are done with school for the school year, and now they're serious about job searching and packing. Just prayers for them as they try to do that with two little ones.
Okay, Aaron and Jennifer are done with school. They're done teaching for the year. Getting serious about trying to move. And so, praise and a prayer request for them. Okay, other prayer requests here. I'll mention some new/updated ones. I mentioned on Sunday, but Heather Wiley's brother, Jeff Haywood, he lives in North Carolina. He had an injury to his leg, pretty severe thing where he fell and had to get a bunch of stitches. Isaac is down there with him, helping him with his business down there while he's recovering. So pray for Jeff Haywood. And then also praying for Jim Eckerd, as we heard Sunday that he's having trouble with kidney stones. So pray for Jim Eckerd. And then again, mention Penny Evans' daughter and son-in-law, Tracy and Scott Joyner, as they lost their jobs. So she asked us to pray for them. Also, her granddaughter's husband, Tyler Chitty, was laid off there in Tennessee. Freda Thompson's grandson passed away a week ago, and that's Valerie's son, Jonathan. He was 40. I guess he had a heart attack, and the viewing for him is today. The funeral is tomorrow, so pray especially for Freda. She's with her daughter, Valerie, and just pray for comfort for them. And Becky had mentioned prayer for Brandy, who works at Bennington, just a lot of things in her life going on, lost father, brother, possibly father-in-law. Pray for Rob Frazier's kids, Scott and Hannah, for direction in their lives. Rob had asked us to pray for them. And then again for Julie Ray's family with the loss of her dad, as that funeral was just a week ago. So pray for her mother, Marilyn Brees, her sister, Donna, and brother Darren. And then Rob has asked us to pray for two people that he knows, Teal Williams, Tanya Hammond, former classmates. So pray for them. And any other requests you'd want to mention, or any updated requests? I know we mentioned Aaron and Jennifer, so we've been praying for them, but just continue with them. Anybody else? Other prayer? Yes, Mrs. Gossman. Okay, pray for the riots, protests that turn into riots, and potentially Columbus could be targeted with some of the violence and things. So just pray especially for our country and for Columbus here near to us. So, all right, who was over here? Was that Becky or Ron?
My dad and his Laura Jane, she's really having a lot of problems. My dad is really kind of weak in his later years. And so it's really, really a challenge for him. She still has grandchildren to come over and, you know, take her a long time. So he's has some responsibility there. It takes it upon himself.
Okay, so Ron's dad and his wife, said Laura Jane is her name. She's not in good health, and so pray especially for Ron's dad and his wife. Okay, anybody else tonight? Other requests? Yes, Becky. Another housekeeper there at Bennington named Brenda found out about a granddaughter that died. So pray for comfort for that family. A lady named Brenda there at Bennington Glen. Okay, anybody else tonight? Yes, Ron? Okay, pray for this man, John Dudo, that was here. And Ron was able to talk to him, and he would like to go to China and seems to have a spiritual concern. And I guess he got he came a little bit late and apparently thought he had to sit out there because of our limits and everything, but he didn't seem to care that much. I talked to him yesterday and he was fine. I told him, you really could have come up here, but he was all right. So pray for him and just the Lord's leading in his life, and if we can be an encouragement to him. All right. Anyone else? We are planning to have an elders meeting tomorrow night. So pray for the elders as we meet. And let's pray for wisdom there. Pray for our country, our elected officials. We're praying for three new ones this month: Rob Portman, our U.S. Senator, our Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, Maureen O'Connor, and then a local judge, Tom Elkin, from the Morrow County Common Pleas Court. So pray for those folks. And then our missionaries. Let's pray for each of our missionaries. So who can take the Kilmers and Matias tonight? Okay, Ron, the Studdards, and Diana Boss, Pastor Gossman, and the Zartmans, Norma Helley, Cindy Grover. Put all those together. Ms. Gossman, okay. The Perez's and the Crawfords. Jenny, okay. And then the Ohio Bible Mission and Hepzibah House. Okay, Becky. All right. Any unspoken requests tonight? Any unspoken requests? Okay, Becky. Anybody else? Okay, remember that unspoken for Becky. All right. Anything else tonight before we divide up? Okay, we'll go ahead and divide up, and we'll have the ladies go into the room over here, and we'll have the men pray out here in the sanctuary.